is also Mevarchim HaChodesh Tammuz. We're benching the new month of Tammuz. Difficult month. Month in which many tragic events occurred, beginning with Chet HaEgel, Meraglim. This week's parasha, most of the story of the Meraglim takes place in the month of Tammuz. And this Shabbos is also Chav Gimel Sivan. Chav Gimel Sivan is the day that is mentioned in Tanakh. It's a very important day, and if we're not aware of it, so we'll bring it to your attention. Chav Gimel Sivan is mentioned in Megillas Esther. It is the longest pasuk in the entire Tanakh. And that pasuk says that on the 23rd day of Sivan, that's when the second Igros, the second scrolls, were sent out by Achashverosh, rescinding the original decree of wiping out Klal Yisrael, giving the chance of Klal Yisrael to defend themselves, which is what the Nes of Purim is about. That's when it began. The V'nahapoichu asher yishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'sayneihem began on Chav Gimel Sivan. The Rekeach says it is the longest pasuk in Tanakh because that pasuk talks about such a great event concerning Klal Yisrael. It is a pasuk which is the Toivosan Shel Yisrael. And being that that pasuk, says the Rekeach, is the Toivosan Shel Yisrael, which occurred Chav Gimel Sivan, this Shabbos is Chav Gimel Sivan. May we be zoichataka to see, in our time, a real v'nahapoichu, which we can use. Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, is a month that requires a v'nahapoichu. It requires change, and that's our goal. We have to change Tammuz. Adar was changed by Mordechai and Esther. At that time, we had a Mordechai and an Esther. Today, we don't have a Mordechai and an Esther. Today, we have to do it. This generation is the generation that has to turn around Tammuz and Av, these two chadashim that are associated with Churban. But the truth is that these Tammuz specifically is really a very great month, was intended to be a very great month, will be a very great month. Tammuz is the month of Reuven. As we mentioned, every month is connected to another Shevet. Reuven is the oldest yet, and Tammuz is the fourth month of the year from Nisan. Reuven lost the Bechaira, he lost the Kahuna and the Malchus, as the Pasuk says in Vayechi, Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Oz, because of Pachas, because of rushing and being impulsive, switching the beds. The Torah considers it Vayishkav Es Bilha Pilagash Aviv. And therefore, the month of Reuven was also fell. Reuven's month, which is the month of Tammuz, also fell, just as Reuven did. And just as Reuven loses the Bechaira and the Kahuna and the Malchus, Klal Yisrael also lost the Kahuna and the Malchus, and it was given only to one specific Shevet as a result of Chet HaEgel, which occurred in the month of Tammuz. And Chet HaEgel was also a Chet associated with impulsiveness. They were impulsive, they couldn't wait. Aaron said, wait one more day, have patience, wait one more day. No, we can't wait. We have to make an Egel. Moshe didn't come down, that's it, he's not coming. The same thing with Chet Eitz Hadas. Chet Eitz Hadas was a Chet that was associated with impulsiveness, lack of patience. It says if other Marushan would have waited 3 hours, he would have been able to make Kiddush on the Eitz Hadas that Friday night, says the Arizal. Because the Eitz Hadas, according to one opinion of the Gemara, was a grape. So he would have been able to squeeze the grape and make wine out of that grape, which would have been Kiddush, but instead he started to make Shabbos early, and that's what happened. Chet Eitz Hadas was a result of Pachas, so was Chet HaMeraglim, and that was the Chet of Reuven. And just as Reuven loses out, so did Tammuz. Actually, Reuven loses out, according to Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, says this goes way back to the time of Yaakov, when Yaakov marries Leah. He thinks he's marrying Rachel, and Reuven is conceived that night. Aruch Chaim says this, Chas V'Shalom, I wouldn't say this. The Aruch Chaim says, of course, with the greatest expressions of Kedusha, referring to Yaakov Avinu and how great Yaakov was. And he says about Reuven, Koichi Vereishis Oini, but there was a slight pagam there in the labor of Reuven, being that Yaakov thought that he was with Rachel when he really was with Leah. So Reuven was born with sort of a slight pagam, a pagam of Tmura. And that's why the Chet HaEgel was also by Yomiru es Kvaidam b'savnes shor oichel esev. There's a Tamura. Klal Yisrael was exchanging Hashem for the Egel, Avodah Zarah. And that Pagam is noticed in the month of Tammuz. Now the story of the Meraglim that we read in this week's parasha, the story of the Meraglim is taking place in Tammuz. They sent the Meraglim. The Meraglim were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu on the 29th of Sivan. They came back on the 8th of Av. So most of the journey was in Chodesh Tammuz. So here again, Tammuz is affected. In Sefer Yetzirah we read, every month was created with a different letter, and every month is a different mode. Tammuz is Re'iyah. In the month of Tammuz, we're supposed to work on our eyes. So says in Sefer Yetzirah. It's elaborated in the Svarim of Reb Tzadok HaKohen, who also tells us that every month has a different organ of the body. The organ of the body for the month of Tammuz corresponds to the eye. The Arizal, in fact, says Tammuz is the right eye and Av is the left eye. That's why these are the months where Shmiras HaEinayim is difficult. It's the months of the summer, especially in our time. It's during these months when the Shmiras HaEinayim is a tremendous challenge. Now, this parasha begins with Re'iyah and it ends with Re'iyah. And Reuven also, who is corresponds to the month of Tammuz, Reuven was called Reuven because of Ra'a Hashem Ba'onyi, Re'u Ma Bein B'ni Leben Chami. Reuven's name is associated with Re'iyah. And therefore his month is a month that is associated with Re'iyah as well. By the Chet Ha'egel there was a pegam in Re'iyah. The Pasuk says, Vayar Ha'am Ki Boishesh Moshe L'Redes Min Ha'or. It was right away the Re'iyah. They saw, they looked, they didn't look at it correctly. Vayar Ha'am Ki Boishesh Moshe. Chet Eitz Hadas also is associated with Re'iyah. Vateira Ho'isha Ki Toiv Ho'etz L'Ma'achol. There was a pegam in the Re'iyah. Here, when Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Meraglim, the Torah tells us, he says, Ure'isem es ha'oretz mahi. You should look at the land properly. See things in its proper perspective. That's the rectification of Re'iyah, to look at things correctly. It's not just what we're not allowed to look at. It's also what we do look at, how we perceive things in this world. We look at the way we see things, not necessarily the way it really is. To see things with the proper eyes, with the eyes of Torah. Had they looked at Eretz Yisrael the right way, had they perceived and followed the guidelines of Moshe Rabbeinu here, there wouldn't have been a Chet HaMeraglim. They would have come back and they would have given a good report, which would have resulted in entering Eretz Yisrael on Tisha B'Av, because the next day was Tisha B'Av. Instead, we have the 3 weeks. Instead, we have the disastrous results of the Chet HaMeraglim. However, in the Haftarah, we see that there was another story of Meraglim, where Yehoshua ben Nun sends Meraglim who go to Rochav Hazayna, to Meraglim, Kolev and Pinchas. They see things correctly, and they come back with a good report, and there's no disastrous effects at all. It's really astonishing that Yehoshua ben Nun would repeat the same mistake, if it's a mistake, that Moshe Rabbeinu made, sending the spies. Most consider this a toas. Or was it a toas? If it's a toas, how could Yehoshua ben Nun repeat the same mistake? He was one of the Meraglim. He saw the results, he saw what happened. And he seems to have no problem sending the Meraglim. Not only that, he wasn't even told to do it. It doesn't say Hashem told him to do it. He just did it on his own. Here it says, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. Hashem seems to be telling Moshe Rabbeinu to send the Meraglim. And yet the results are disastrous. And if you look at the beginning of the parasha, Rashi tells us that this was not a tzivoy. This was not a command. It was permission. L'daitecha. Shlach lecha l'daitecha. Ani eini mitzavlech. I'm not commanding you. You want to do it, do it. But I'm telling you right now, the results could be disastrous, which is what happened. But so what is this? What kind of dibur is this? Usually before a mitzvah, it says, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. That's what it says here. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. So if Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach lecha anoshim, then that's what has to be done. So what does this mean? It's not a tzivoy. So what is it? So the literal understanding is that they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi brings it down. We learn later on in Parashas Devarim. They said, Nishlecha anoshim lefoneinu. They asked for it. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, so shall I or not? Hashem says, this is what they want, do it. But I'm telling you, this is not what I want. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to read between the lines that Hashem was unhappy with the request to send these spies. Because they should have had the ultimate betachin in Hashem. There's no need to send spies. Hashem is going to conquer the land for us. What do you have to send spies for? When you're talking about fighting wars, naturally, you send spies. Any country fighting another country first sends the spies to see what it looks like before they fight a war. So naturally, you send spies. But in a war of Bnei Yisrael, there's no need to send spies. So the parasha begins with Re'iyah, Ure'isem es ha'oretz mahi. The parasha ends with the parasha of Tzitzis. Tzitzis also is the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Ure'isem oisai. V'lo yisasuru achare levavchem v'achare einechem asher atam zoynim achareihem. It's interesting too that the first time that Tzitzis is ever mentioned in Chumash is concerning the story of Noach, when Shem and Yefes covered Noach, it says there, Ve'ervas avihem loy ro'u, Vayikach es hasim lo, they took with Shem and Yefes. Chom is punished. Chom is not nizhar in re'iyo. Vayar chom es ervas ovid, Vayagay l'shnei echov b'chutz. Chom utilizes his eyes and his speech in a negative way. Shame in Yefes, the Iker shame, shame was the main one, that's why it says in the Lashon Yochid, Vayikach, doesn't say Vayikchu, Vayikach shame for Yefes is Hasimla. They covered Noach, and it says even when they had to turn around to cover him, Ufinehem Achoy Ranis, the Ervas Avihem Loi Ro. Tell us Chazal, Rashi brings it in Parshas Noach, the Chschar for shame covering Noach was that later on, Mibnei Bonav, there will be a mitzvah given to the children of Shem, to Bnei Yisrael, which is the mitzvah of tzitzis. So there we see already that tzitzis is associated with zehiris in the inyan of re'iyah, the fact that Shem would not look where he should not have. I mean, he didn't look and he didn't say what he shouldn't, therefore we were zeichet to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Even before Klal Yisrael were officially a nation, Hashem is already preparing the mitzvah of tzitzis from even to the Bnei Bonav Shel Shem. Another interesting thing we see in this parasha is that there are a few mitzvahs mentioned in this parasha besides tzitzis. There's the mitzvah of nesachim, the pouring of the wine. There's the mitzvah of challah, separating the dough, the mitzvah of challah. What do these mitzvahs have to do with the meraglim story? And right after the story with the meraglim is over, the pasuk says, "Vayidabra Hashem al Moshe leimar, Kisavayu al Eretz Moshe v'aseichem, Hashem ani noisem lachem." And if you donate a carbon, and you have to know, when you donate a carbon, you have to bring with the donation nesachim, pouring of wine, flour and oil, and the pouring of wine. Yalkut Ruveni tells us, where did they have wine in the Midbar? Where did they have grapes in the Midbar? They had grapes from the cluster of grapes that the Meraglim brought back with them when they returned from Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, and the Pasuk makes a big deal about this, first of all, it says, V'hayomim yemei bikurei anovim. These were days when the grapes are ripening. Are the grapes the only fruits that are ripening during this time? There are a lot of fruits that are ripening in Eretz Yisrael during this time. Why does the Torah only mention grapes? So some say, because this is the introduction to the next part, where it says they took a cluster of grapes, but the Pasuk also mentions figs, and the Pasuk mentions pomegranates. There's a certain emphasis here on grapes, which we all know grapes is what we make wine out of. This Eshkol Anovim, which was used for a negative purpose, that's why Yehoshua and Kolev do not take any fruits, even though Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ulekachta mipri ha'aretz, they don't. Because they saw that what the Meraglim were doing with these fruits, they were taking the fruits back to the Bnei Yisrael to show them that this is a strange country, such large fruits, the people are weird, the people are different, it's not a place for us. Or as the Svarim explained, they were worried that they were going to fall into a world of materialism. Look how much food there is, there's an abundance of food, everyone's just eating and eating. Eretz Oicheles Yoshvehohi, the land is consumed, it's the artsius, the materialism consumes its inhabitants. This is a land full of materialism. We've been used to eating mun, we're surrounded by clouds, we're eating the well, drinking from the well of Miriam, we're living a life of spirituality in the desert. To deal with the physical world now is just a drastic change that is going to cause us to fall, which is why they mentioned the Nephilim, as we mentioned last week. The Nephilim were originally Malachim who fell and became humans, and the result for them was a disastrous one. They fell and caused everyone else to fall as well. This is what happens when someone is on a very high level and he suddenly has to go down and deal with a lower level. It's very, the change can cause a tremendous downfall. It's very challenging. It's very challenging for the neshama to come into this world. When the neshama enters this world, it's also a drastic change. And they were worried to make this, they were afraid to make the drastic change between the Midbar and Eretz Yisrael, entering the land and dealing with a physical world and planting and plowing and eating normal food. That's why by the mitzvah of challah, the pasuk says, V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz tarimu sruma la'Hashem. Why does the pasuk stress when you eat from the bread of the ground? Where else does bread come from? They wanted to stay in the desert and continue eating lechem min hashamayim. The answer is no. Hashem does not want malachim. Hashem wants normal people, human beings, who eat regular food and drink regular drinks. You elevate the gashmis. That's what we're here for. We're here to elevate the gashmis, to elevate the physical matters of this world, not to separate from them. That's what a malach is, separated from the physical components of the world, because a malach is totally spiritual. A human being is not. A human being is sent to this world to deal with the physical world and to elevate it. That's what the Meraglim didn't understand. And those who listened to the Meraglim didn't understand. They felt that staying in the desert and remaining in a world of Kedusha is the best way to serve Hashem, as if they knew better how to serve Hashem. And as we mentioned last week, with people on such a high level, that's considered rebellion. Achba Hashem al timroidu kolev en Yehoshua say to Klal Yisrael, do not rebel against Hashem, even though you think you're going to be serving Hashem on a much higher level by staying in the Midbar, but if that's not what Hashem wants, it's wrong, it's a merida, it's a rebellion, even though for people perhaps in our generation we consider this a tremendous madrega, and they were on a great madrega, but precisely because they were on a great madrega, deviating from that which Hashem wants is considered rebellion. Yehoshua and Kolev were the only ones of the Meraglim who stayed the course. They did not deviate at all. That's why Yehoshua, who comes from Ephraim, from Yosef, Kolev, who comes from Yehuda, they were both Zoicha, that out from them Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef come. Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef are descendants of Kolev and Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua and Kolev are already here living in the world of Mashiach. They're already experiencing the future, and this is perhaps the deeper understanding of what's going on over here. It says, in the world of the future, there will be no commandments. The Gemara says in Anida, Mitzvah Spetelois La'asid Lavoi. So, of course, the Svarim ask, how can that be? One of the 13 Animamins is Zeis HaTorah Lo'itayim Lechalefes. The Torah will never change. How could you say there won't be commandments in the future? Svarim answer as follows. In the future, there will be no need for commandments. Not that there won't be commandments. The mitzvahs are eternal. It's just that in the future, we won't be commanded. We won't have to be told what to do. We will understand on our own what to do. Our bodies will be oizga'ar, but our bodies will be so worked out, so perfected, that we will do the Ratzon Hashem automatically. Like it says by Avraham Avinu, Kiyem kol ha'tayra kula ad shelo nitna. Who taught it to him? So it says, on his own, he was masig the Ratzon Hashem. That's why the pasuk says when it came to the actual akedah, by Yishlach Avraham es yado, he sent his hand to take the knife. What does that mean? He sent his hand. He took the knife. It says he couldn't take the knife. He went into shock. His hand just wouldn't do it. Now we would interpret that as, well, obviously he's not going to want to do it. Who wants to kill their child? So he couldn't do it. He must have fallen into a state of shock, and that bothered Avraham Avinu very much. Avraham thought that's why Hashem disqualified him from slaughtering Yitzchak. Because he didn't reach this level that his body does the will of Hashem automatically. If he can't take the knife, then that means he's disqualified. That's how he considered this as a disqualification of his going to the Akedah. And the reality was just the opposite. Hashem did not want him to slaughter Yitzchak. So he was mechaven to the Ratzon Hashem. He's doing exactly what Hashem wanted him to do. Hashem did not want him to take the knife. That's why his hand would not. He had to, like, force his hand to take the knife. But he had already fulfilled the mitzvah once he brought Yitzchak to the Akedah. The rest was unnecessary. That's what right afterwards Hashem says, you don't have to do anything. You've proven how great you are. Avraham Avinu was on that madrega. All of us were supposed to be on that madrega in Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is the month when we're on our own. Chodesh Tammuz is the month that comes after Sivan. Sivan is the month that we came to Midbar Sinai. Tammuz is Midbar Paran. We read in last week's parasha, Klal Yisrael went from Midbar Sinai to Midbar Paran. And here the Torah tells us, Vayishlach oisam Moshe mimidbar poron al pi Hashem. Why does the Torah have to repeat again this midbar poron? We know they were in midbar poron. We just said that. They didn't go anywhere after that, so they're still there. So of course Moshe sent the miraglim from midbar poron. Midbar poron is the midbar that we're on our own. Midbar Sinai is where we receive commandments. On Har Sinai, Hashem told us exactly what to do. Midbar poron, you're on your own now. Let's see if you're mechavin to the Ratzon Hashem. Let's see if you're on the madrega that you are able to be mechaving to the Ratzon Hashem. That's why this was not a mitzvah. Shlach lecha anoshim ledaitecha ani eini mitzvah lecha. I am purposely not commanding you. This is not a tzivah. It's not a command. You have free choice here. You could do as you please. Let's see if you're mechaving to the Ratzon HaElyon. Let's see if you're going to do exactly what Hashem wants of you. I'm leaving it up to you. I'm not telling you exactly what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say exactly what to do here. And that's why you can go either way. they felt that if they're going as spies, they have a right to come back and report and say whatever's on their mind and also offer opinions, which is where they went wrong. Yehoshua and Kalev do exactly. They're totally subservient to Moshe Rabbeinu. They're makusher to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Tzadik Hador. They follow the directives of the Godel Hador, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't deviate in any way, and they only came back and said exactly what they saw. No opinions. But they also saw it the right way. They saw it, they perceived correctly. They, Re'isem es ha'aretz mahi, they were not poigem in Re'iya. They did not violate the koyach ha'Re'iya that they had. Unfortunately, the Meraglim did. And that's why it's interesting that in the same parasha, the mitzvahs that were given to us in this week's parasha are mitzvahs that are not chiyuvim. They're not obligations. They're like not, sort of not commandments. Take for example, Nesachim. The pouring of wine, you don't have to pour wine on the Mizbeach. The mitzvah is, the mitzvah that's mentioned in this week's parasha. The Nesachim that I mentioned in the parasha is Tetzaveh, that goes together with the Karban Tamid. That was an obligation. But the Karban Tamid in this week's parasha is only if you bring a Karban and you donate a Karban, then with the Karban you have to bring the Nesachim. Va'asisam isha oyla oizevach lefalei neder oy b'nedava. A neder and a nedava are certainly not commands. You don't have to donate. If you have to donate, it's not a donation anymore. It's from your own. It's on your own. If on my own I decide to donate a carbon, the procedure is that together with that, there is a mincha unisach. You have to pour wine on the mizbeach. What about the mitzvah of challah? Same thing. Do you have to bake challah? You do not have to bake challah. Exactly. It's also kiyum. It's not chiyuv. It's right. No, we're going to get to it. Challah is a kiyum. It's not chiyuv. You don't have to bake. You can buy challah in the bakery. Does it say anywhere that you have to make your own challah? No. But if you do, then Torim Usrum Ala Hashem. And the same with tzitzis. Tzitzis, you do not have to wear tzitzis. Minat Torah. Of course, Midrabbanan. And today we all wear tzitzis. Today if someone does not, he's considered a Pyrek O. But Minat Torah, you do not have to wear tzitzis unless you have a four-cornered garment. And today we don't even have four-cornered garments. So a four-cornered garment is what obligates you to have tzitzis. Is tzitzis a mitzvah chiyuvis? No, it is not. You don't have to wear a four-cornered garment. In this parasha, we were given mitzvahs that are not regular commands. It's not like Hashem is telling you, you must do this. Hashem leaves it up to you. You want to have a four-cornered garment? Fine, then you have the mitzvah of tzitzis. You want to bake challah? You have the mitzvah of challah. You want to donate animals to the Beis HaMikdash? Then you have to pour wine. This is the tikkun, the rectification for the Chet HaMeraglim. Hashem wanted to see if Klal Yisrael were on the level of La'asid Lavoi. This is the level we were supposed to be on in Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is the month that we were supposed to receive the first Luchais. If we would have received the first Luchais, which concerning the first Luchais, the Pasuk says, Chorus al ha-Luchais, al tikri Chorus al ha-Cheirus, Cheirus mimal ha-Chamavis, Cheirus mi-Yetzer hara, we would have been on that level. We would have attained that level of perfection, the perfect world, the world of La'asid Lavoi, without a Yetzer Hara, where automatically we would be doing the Ratzon Hashem, mitzvahs would not be necessary. There'd be no need for commandments. There'd be no need to be told what to do. On our own, we'd be doing that. The only two who are on that level were Yehoshua and Kalev. That's why Yehoshua later is not afraid to send Meraglim. Yehoshua sends Meraglim, and that's the Haftorah of the parasha. It's interesting, but the Haftorah of the parasha is Me'ein the parasha. You would think, how could we pick a Haftorah to a parasha, which the parasha talks about a story that results in a negative manner, and the Haftorah is, and Yehoshua sent Meraglim. I mean, it doesn't really fit, because if Meraglim is not a good thing, if it's a negative thing, so why are we even discussing it in the Haftorah? Why is it, and the question is, why did Yehoshua do it? The answer is the Meraglim, the concept of sending Meraglim was not negative. It turned that way, they had Bechira Chavshis, they didn't utilize their Das correctly. They were not Mechaving to the Ratzon HaElyon. Chodesh Tammuz was not yet ready for rectification. Chodesh Tammuz is the Chodesh of Midas Hadin. That's why the pasuk says, "V'hayomim you may be kurei anovim." Says Reb Shamshami Astropolia. The word anovim, the letters before anovim, ayin nun beis mem. He doesn't mention the yud. I guess because the yud is the letter that has to do with the plurality of the word. So he says anovim ayin nun beis mem. The letters before that is samach mem aleph lamed, which is the name of the Satan. These are days when the Satan has power. Chodesh Tammuz is the month of Midas Hadin, the month in which the Satan rules, and that's why they had such a difficult time. The Pasuk is giving us an introduction. The question is, why did the Pasuk choose grapes and use the word Anovim to tell us this? that these are days of the Samach Mem. Okay, so the word Anavim happens to have in it the letters before Ayin Nun Beis Mem is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. Why is it that way? Wine is associated with Midas Hadin. Wine is the color red. The color red is the color that is associated with Midas Hadin. Mazel Madin, the red star, the red planet. The Gemara says whoever is born when the red planet is out will either be a murderer, or he has the option, again, he can choose and be a Sheikhet or a Moihel. It doesn't have to be he could be a murderer, but a murderer mitzad HaKadusha. David HaMelech was also an Admoini. David HaMelech killed many people with Al-Pi Sanhedrin. Esav was the Admoini mitzad HaDin of Tumah. Tammuz is the month of Reuven. Reuven's stone on the Choshen was the red stone, Oidem. Oidem is ruby, that's why it's called a ruby. The reason why the ruby stone is called ruby, which is the red stone, because it's the stone of Reuven. So says Rabbeinu Bachya. Yes, most gemologists today, they probably don't know that. But the ruby stone is the ruby stone because it's the stone of Reuven. The red stone, which is the color that is associated with Midas Hadin. But Midas Hadin is not necessarily a negative Midah. The world was supposed to be created al pi Midas Hadin. B'tchila olam machshava libra yisoylam Midas Hadin. In the future, the world will be conducted according to the laws of Midas Hadin. That's why the halacha la'asid lavoi will be like Beis Shammai, which we'll see next week, is what Kairach's mistake was. Because Kairach was from Beis Shammai. Kairach had the bechina of Shammai in him. Din, he thought that the world had already reached that level. And since Chaydish Tammuz is the Chaydish of Din, it is associated with the color red, which is the red stone of Reuven. Reuven is Tammuz. That's why wine can either be used for a mitzvah, or wine, Chas V'Shalom, has the ill effects of wine. As a result of Chet Eitz Hadas, because according to that man, the Yama, that the Eitz Hadas was a grape, and Elu Ve'elu Divri Elokim Chaim, so it was a grape, according to that opinion, and it is a grape. Since the Chet Eitz Hadas, grapes and wine can be used in a negative way. Wine has in it the color of blood. And as the Arizal says, when you make Kiddush Friday night, you say, Yom Hashish Vaychulu Hashemayim. So Yom Hashish Vaychulu Hashemayim is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's Hashem's name. That's Rachamim. That's equal to 26. The word Yayin is 70. What's 70 minus 26? 44. 44 is Dam. Dam, the Dam part of the wine, that's the Midas Hadin part of it. That's the part that can bring negative results. That's the part that leads to Shikrus and leads to Aveira. When we make Kiddush on wine, whether it's on Shabbos or Yom Tov, or drink wine when it's associated with a mitzvah, whether it's Purim, whether it's a Sheva Brachas, a Chasana, so on, Lava Sheva Kedusha, then the part that is equal to 26, the part that's equal to Hashem's name, takes precedence over the 44, over the Dam part. And here, they took the cluster of grapes, they took the grapes and brought them back. The Midas Hadin affected them in a negative way. And again, they're sinning here with grapes, just as by the Chet Eitz Hadas, which according to that man Domer was a Gefen. However, the Torah tells us that the same item that was used for negativity can be used for a mitzvah. Just like on the Mizbeach, we sprinkle blood on the Mizbeach. Dam gets sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Dam, which is the Midas Hadin. The Mizbeach is the place where Dam is sprinkled, where the Midas Hadin is utilized properly. So now we have this mitzvah of pouring the wine on the Mizbeach. And the Alkut Ruveni says it was the same cluster of grapes that they brought back with them that was used to pour on the Mizbeach. It's interesting that you would think that if this was used for an Aveira, this was used to gossip, to talk negatively about Eretz Yisrael, how can we use the same cluster of grapes for a mitzvah? And that's the concept of an Ahapoichu. That's the concept of turnaround. Taking something which was used negatively and using it in a positive manner. That was the tikkun for the Chet Eitz Hadas. Not just turning Midas Hadin into Midas HaRachamim. Turning Midas Hadin of Le'umazah into Midas Hadin of Kedusha, where the color red is now associated with a positive look. And that's what we see in the Haftarah. An amazing thing we see in the Haftarah this week. The Haftarah this week is about Rachav Hazayna. It says about Rachav Hazayna that she lowered Pinchas and Kolev, the two miraglim, down a rope. Vatoyridem b'chevel b'ad hachaloyim, the pasuk says. So Chazal tell us, it's a mechilta in Parshas Yisroi, that with the same rope that she pulled all her noyafim who came to her, she was a zoyna for 40 years, the lowest form of tumah Rachav represented. Rachav represents the tumah of which the pagam of Re'iyah is associated with. The Gemara says whoever even said her name was affected because she was so beautiful. Whoever saw her once was affected in a negative way. And one would think a person like that, it's totally evil. There's no tikkun for a person like that. Not only that, now she wasn't even Jewish. And yet we see in the Haftarah the unbelievable transformation that takes place with Rachav Azayna. And Rachav uses the same chevel for Aveira, just as in the parasha, the same cluster of grapes that was used to talk bad about Eretz Yisrael is used now for the Nesachim. The same chevel that was used to lower the Nayafim, to bring them to her, the same chevel was used to save Kalev and Pinchas, which is the mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh. There's no greater mitzvah than saving another Yid. She saved the lives of the two great tzaddikim, Pinchas and Kalev, with the same rope that she was mezana with. And then the pasuk says that when she asked for a sign, she wanted to know if they're really going to let her live when they come and conquer the land. The sign they gave her was Es Tikvas Chut Hashoni Hazeh. I want you to take this red rope. It was a rope that was red, like a red thread. Lower it from your window. When we see it, then we'll know you're there, and then we'll save you. The red thread we know on Yom Kippur is the thread that is used to show that the sins of Klal Yisrael are forgiven, because the red thread turns white. If it stays red, that means that our sins were not forgiven. That was the siman. Im yihyu chatoeichem kashonim kashalig yalbinu. However, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim where it says kechut hashoni sifsoi sayich. The same chut hashoni. Here, the concept of an ahapoichu, the concept of turnaround here, is not to change the color. The color could remain the same. The same grapes are used for the Nesachim. The color red is the color of the stone of Reuben on the Choshen, and any color that's on the Choshen is associated with Kedusha. It's all positive. Midas Hadin is not negative. Midas Hadin can go negative. Esav is Edoim, Esav is red, Esav is attracted to the color red, Esav is the murderer, Esav was born in Mazel Madim, so he utilizes the Midas Hadin in a negative way, in the Le'umazah. But Midas Hadin, Mitzad HaKedusha, is greater than Midas HaRachim. That's the way the world was supposed to be created, but Hashem saw that it won't last, so he had to mix it with Midas HaRachim. But in the future, as it says, the Halach will be like Beishama, in the future the world will be conducted according to the dictates of Midas Hadin. That's Tammuz. Tammuz is the Chodesh of Midas Adin. Had the Luchais not been broken, then Tammuz would have been the first month. Tammuz would have been the month of Reishis. That would have been the month that we received the first Luchais, which is actually the completion of Matan Torah. Matan Torah starts on Shavuos. When was it over? It was over on Shavuos B'Tammuz. At least it was supposed to be over on Shavuos B'Tammuz. Over meaning the 40 days. When did the 40 days come to an end? Shavuos B'Tammuz. Shavuos B'Tammuz, the day that we're supposed to receive the first Luchais and reach that Madrega of La'osid Lavoi, of Mitzvahis B'Teilais, and not have to come on to any commands, is the month of Midas Hadin. It is the month that we were supposed to be able to live according to the dictates of Midas Hadin. And then wine will not cause harm. The Eshkol HaMavim would not have been used in a negative manner. The color red would have only been associated with Toiv. And that's what we see in the Haftarah. This Chut HaShani, the same Chut HaShani that she used for Chet, is now used for Mitzvah. It was used for Schus, and it was Schus for her that gave her life. Not only that, what happened to Rachav Azayna? Rachav Azayna becomes a Giyoris. She's equated to Rus, to Yoel, as the Midrashim bring down. And not only that, but eight Nevi'im are descendants of Rachav Azayna, including Yirmiyah HaNavi. In fact, they used to make fun of Yirmiyah. They used to make fun of Yirmiyah that he was a descendant of Rachav Azayna. Rachav married Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua, the one in this parasha who does not fall for the trap of the Meraglim. Yehoshua, who is on the level, Yehoshua ben Nun, he's already on the level of Nun. Yehoshua, who follows the directives and does not have to come on to commands. That's why Yehoshua did not have to wait for Hashem to tell him to send the Meraglim. He did it on his own. Because Yehoshua automatically does the Ratzon Hashem. Yehoshua is on that level from whom Mashiach ben Yosef comes. Yehoshua marries Rachav. Rachav is the ultimate example of an ahapoichu, total turnaround. That's why we call it Tikvas Chut Hashani. Mefarshim ask, why do we call it Tikva? Tikva means hope. What does Tikva have to do with a thread? They try to answer, comes from the word kav. Kav is like a long rope. This is tremendous tikva. It's tremendous hope. Tikvas chut hashani. The chut hashani of Rachav is the hope that we could be happy chodesh tamuz. That the same chut hashani that was used for chet is used here for schus. Tikvas chut hashani is begematria yitoka b'shoifa gadol levo ha'ovdim. You talk about shofar gadol v'vavah oivdim is the time of la'asid lavoi. That's referring to the yovel when Hashem is going to blow the shofar gadol, when an entire world will experience the oz epoch el kol ha'amim, the v'nahapoch, the total turnaround. Not just of midas hadin to midas harachamim, but midas hadin of le'umazet to midas hadin of kedusha. And therefore, the story of the Meraglim does not have to be looked at only in a negative way. The Meraglim was supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael and prepare the land for the entrance of Klal Yisrael. They were supposed to be the guides to prepare the land for the future. In fact, we find later when the Pasuk says Parshas Chukas, it says that they traveled, the way they traveled, it says, was Derech HaAsorim. Derech HaAsorim has two interpretations. The way they traveled, one shot is Derech HaTayr HaGadol, that means they followed the Orin, and the Orin is called the Tayr HaGadol. The other pshat in Derech HaAsorim is the Torim. They followed in the path of the Meraglim. Why are we mentioning the Meraglim here when the Meraglim, the Chayra, were Rishoyim? Derech HaAsorim, Derech HaNegev, Shehochu Bo Meraglim, says Rashi. The Meraglim toured, the word tour, Torim comes from the word in English, tour comes from the word Yasuru Eseretz Kanan, the Hebrew word to tour. They toured the land, they prepared the land for the eventual entrance of Klal Yisrael. They veered off the path, they deviated because they didn't follow exactly what Hashem wanted from them. They weren't mechaving to the emes. They weren't zoicha to rectify the Chodesh Tammuz at that time. So therefore Chodesh Tammuz once again experiences a downfall because of the Chet HaMeraglim. This is the Shabbos that takes us into Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is the month that we're on our own. Chodesh Tammuz is the Midbar Paran of time. Just as there's Midbar Sinai, which is Sivan, Midbar Paran is Tammuz. Paran has in it the word Pe'er. Pe'er, which is the root of Tiferes. Tiferes, the Beis HaMikdash, is called Zavul Beis Tifartenu. Bizman HaGolis, it says, Hishlech Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes fell to the floor. Pasuk says in Eicha, which we read Tisha B'Av. Throughout Golis, especially in these 2 months, we're supposed to build the Tiferes, the splendor, the beauty. As we just read in the previous parak of Pirkei Avos, Ezayu Derech Sheyover Le'ha'odam Kolshi Tiferes Le'oiseha V'Siferes Le'min Ha'odam. Which that Mishnah, incidentally, is referring to this Derech of going out into the world when we're on our own and rectifying the Avoida of Birurim, sifting the good from the bad. That's the Sheyover Le'ha'odam, a strange word that the Mishnah uses instead of saying Sheyivchar. Sheyavar means to choose, so Shlu said Sheyivchar. But Sheyavar also comes from the word Borer, that's the Avodah of Birurim, Bizman HaGolus, which is the time of Chodesh Tammuz, the month that we leave the Yomtiv mode of Sivan. We're on our own now in Chodesh Tammuz, the month that we're not commanded, we're not told exactly what to do. This is the month of Birurim. We're outside of the Gvul of Kedusha. Bar also means outside, like Rashi says, like the Unkelus translates, Michutz. Michutz is Mibora, Mibora Lamashrisa. Sheyavar Le'ha'odam also comes from the word bor, pit. We have to go down into the pit sometimes. And that's going to bring about the Tiferes, the beauty. The beauty of Klal Yisrael. Tiferes actually is a multicolored picture. It's called Tiferes, not just one color. Many colors. Multifaceted. The Tiferes is when we are able to go into the in difficult times, we're able to enter, we're able to go down and elevate the tachtoin and bring and elevate the physical the components of this world, which is the avodah of Chodesh Tammuz. That's Midbar Paran, Pe'er. Unfortunately, what happened over here is the Pe'er turned into Efer. Pe'er is Oisius Efer. They cried, and they had this caused the eventual Tisha B'Av. Hashem said, "You're crying now. B'chiyo shel chinam. In the future, you'll cry on this night." The Pe'er turns to Efer. Our job is to turn the Efer back to Pe'er again. And to bring back the Tiferes, the Zavul Beis Tifartenu, the Tiferes Yisrael that has fallen, Hishlech Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael, back to where it belongs. And at Chodesh Tammuz, which Tammuz incidentally is Rosh Hashanah, is a manei tshuva mamash mishum uboyim, the Svarim say, that Chodesh Tammuz is a Chodesh of tshuva, preparing for the Chodshim of tshuva of Elul and Tishrei. And that's why it's the Chodesh of Reuven. Reuven was the first one that Medrash says who did tshuva. Reuven was the first one who did tshuva after the Maisa of Bilhah, because he did tshuva on his own, without being commanded, without being told what to do. Unlike Adam and Cain, they did tshuva because Hashem appeared to them, so of course they did tshuva. The first person to do tshuva on his own, not being told what to do, is Reuven. And because Reuven is the first to do tshuva, says the Medrash, it's his descendant, Hoshea ben Be'eri, who says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, which is the Haftarah of Shabbos Parashas Tshuva. Tonight is Chaf Sivan. According to many, have this minhag to fast tomorrow. It's a day that is associated with Slichas in Poland, that's when the Gezeiros of Tach V'Tat took place. And even before that, they say in the Sforim that Chav Sivan was already mentioned as a day of Tainus. The Apterov wrote that it's hinted in the words Kiyod al Kes Ka. Kes is Chav Sivan, and Ka is Yom HaKippur. He says Chav Sivan, we start getting ready for Yom Kippur. And that's why in this parasha we have the two psukim that are associated with Yom Kippur. Slach Nova Avoyna Amazek Goydel Chazdecha is in this week's parasha. Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, which Salachti Kidvarecha stands for Chav Sivan. So tonight we start preparing already for the upcoming year, even though it sounds a little far-fetched. But, you know, when it comes to the laws of Shemitah, the laws of Shemitah begin right after Shavuos. After Shavuos you're not supposed to plant already because it's preparing for the next year. Next year, of course, Tavshin Samaches is the Shnas HaShemitah. It's also a Shana Meguberes, a year that Yom Kippur, Purim falls out on Friday, Erev Pesach is Shabbos. It's a very unique year, Tavshin Samaches, very big year. We should start preparing for it now already. And we should be zeichet to be mehapeh chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz is begematria melech hamashiach. We should be zeichet to see bias hamashiach immediately, and the restoration of Yerushalayim and Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and be zeichet to enter Eretz Yisrael and to see things in the proper perspective. We will be zeichet to that immediately.